If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. Just remain standing for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able. Been praising God all day for what He did last night in the service. And the one man that got saved, it's worth one.
Yep.
Jesus left the 99 to go to the one.
Yes, right.
And it's always worth it when one sinner comes to repentance. Mark chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I'm going to stop right there and say this.
Come on.
The last few years, we've tried everything in the world to try to get a crowd.
Come on.
Jesus is around. They'll line up at the door to get in.
That's right.
The reason why our churches are empty, there's not much God around.
Come on. Preach that, preacher.
You're right.
I'll come back to that in a minute. Verse 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up and let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? If you always notice in every church, there's always Pharisees around.
Come on.
There's always one in the bunch that's always got a bad attitude, trying to be critical of everything. Lord, help us. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, he took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. They went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many. And they followed him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Now, God, I'm going to remind you again, I did not volunteer for this. God, you called me. God, you chose me. God, I cannot do anything in my own power. At best, I'm a miserable failure. At best, Father, Lord, I will miserably fail and be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal.
That's right.
But God, I'm asking you one more time to drain everything in me that's not pleasing unto you. God, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would relieve me of any self or forgive me of any pride or arrogance or selfishness or anything in my heart that would cause you not to use me tonight. Now, Father, on this second night of revival, God, I'm hungry now more than ever before.
Come on.
God, I need you tonight. God, I need your power. God, we need your touch. God, I'm asking you to do something tonight, Lord. I'm asking you to move, God, for every demon of hell that's trying to oppress this service. God, I pray, Lord, you'd force them back. I pray, Lord, you'd give us liberality in this place. And God, may you bind the devil. God, if there be one tonight that's lost, I pray, Father, Lord, that the convicting power of God would show them once and for all that they need Jesus. Father, I pray, God, you'd have your will and way in this service. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious and glorious name. The name of Jesus that saved me from my sin.
That's right.
The one that died for me.
That's right.
The one that gave it all so I wouldn't have to go to hell. In your lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In our text in Mark chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. For just a few minutes tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach a message entitled, When Jesus is in the House. When Jesus is in the house. I want to start out by saying, when Jesus walks in the midst of his people, we're going to know he's here. We're not going to have to sing it up. We're not going to have to pray it up. We're not going to have to preach it up. We're not going to have to plan it up. But when the Holy Ghost of God comes walking in an auditorium, everybody around you is going to know that Jesus has walked in the midst of his people. I want to say tonight, if we come to church and Jesus don't show up, we're wasting our time. If we come to church and we just have a message, if we come to church and just have a little bit of singing, if we come to church and we just go through the motions, we're going to be wasting our time. But on this second night revival, my prayer within my heart is for Jesus to show up in the house, for Jesus to come down in the midst of his people and to show himself real and to drop the power of God on this church. Oh, we need Jesus in 2017. We've had enough of our religion. We've had enough of ourselves. But may God move in the midst of his people tonight. Bible says that when he showed up in Capernaum, after some days it was noised that he was in the house. Jesus didn't have to go to Capernaum.
Come on.
He could have went anywhere else at this time, Brother Thacker, but he chose to go to Capernaum. I want to stop right here and say Jesus doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe us to show up tonight in this service. But if we would just get just a little bit blessed and say, Jesus, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of anything. We're just a bunch of worthless sinners saved by the grace of God. But God, if you would find it in your will to drop the power on this place tonight and meet with your people, maybe somebody would get saved. Maybe somebody would see the power of God one more time for this generation. We've gone so long without the power of God. We've traded the power of God for popularity. We've traded the power of God for our own methods and our own means and our own programs. And I'm here to say it's not worked. It's gotten us further away from God. Our churches are empty. Our burdens are gone and our altars are dry. And we look to the left. We look to the right and we say, where's God at? Where's God at? He's the same place he's always been. He's looking for a people that'll say, God, we want to get back to where we left you from. We know we got to have you. We got to have the power. Lord Jesus, show up in this generation. Brother Jimmy, we can't operate without God. You can't operate without God. I can't operate without God. I can't eat without Jesus. I can't sleep without Jesus. I can't drive my car without Jesus. I can't preach without Jesus. But my prayer tonight is that God would show up in this place and be real to me one more time. Jesus went into Capernaum. And it was noised abroad. Jesus was in the house.
Yes.
Let me ask you. Is it noised around in Ramsar tonight that you're having revival?
Come on.
Does anybody in Ramsar tonight know we're having church? Boy, it's quiet.
Come on.
I remember a day as a little boy.
Yes.
When I was growing up, I sat up under preachers like Percy Ray.
Yeah.
J. Harold Smith would rock me to sleep at night in our home. Mase Jackson and Billy Kelly would eat at our table and eat a loaf of bread and a dozen eggs and a pound of bacon and drink two cartons of juice and eat 10 biscuits, and that would just be an appetizer.
Yeah.
I would sit there as a little boy and I'd look and I'd be like, my God, how does he eat all that? And I'd think he'd be getting done and he'd look at my mom and say, Kay, put on another pan of biscuits. I'm hungry today. And I would sit under men of God like that. I sat up under my dad and I'd see him preach with the power of God. And the power of God saturate those grounds. I'd sit in tent meetings and I'd see him preach and I'd see hundreds of people flood the altar and get born again by the power of God. And as I go from church to church, I say, why aren't we seeing that? Where is that power? Where is that conviction? Where's the power of God at? And as I go from church to church, the Lord reminds me day after day, I've never gone anywhere. I'm the same yesterday. I'm the same today. And I'm the same forevermore. We got to get back to making it about Jesus. It's about Jesus. I said it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. We need to get back to Jesus tonight. Verse number 2 says, straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. I'm not going to get off on this much, but I want to stop right here. You don't need priest teams and fog machines to draw a crowd.
That's right. Preach that now.
I'm 35 years old. I've heard it all in the last year.
Yeah.
DR, if you'll just drop your standards just a little bit.
Come on.
If you'll quit crying so much, if you'll just tone it down a little bit,
yeah,
we can probably get you in some of those churches.
No,
well, DR, if you'll just bring in this group here and this group here, and we can really get your name out there a little more. You know what? I looked at them all and said, I'm not for sale.
That's right.
If it worked for Percy Ray, preacher, it's going to work for me. If it worked for my daddy, it'll work for me. If it worked for R.A. Toy, it'll work for me. If it worked for Billy Sunday, it'll work for me. What's the answer? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Jesus tonight. When Jesus came into town, he was the talk of the town. You know, when we come into town now, it's all about us. We have a church service and it's all about the evangelist. It's all about the choir singing. It's all about how beautiful the building is decorated. It's all about how well it was advertised and marketed. And Jesus is saying, while y'all are trying to do it all in your own selves, there's people out there that want something real. But all they see are a bunch of phonies.
Come on.
Right.
See a bunch of fakes.
Yeah. Right.
You see, I said it last night, Brother Thacker. Anywhere there's pride, Jesus ain't going to be around.
Right.
He ain't going to share his glory with nobody.
Right.
He ain't going to share it with me. He ain't going to share it with Brother Thacker. He ain't going to share it with Jeff Mabe or Jimmy Hill. We can't steal any of his glory and him stay around. I'm here to say it one more time. This week, if we would just get back to letting God be God, just let God be God, there's no telling what had happened in this place. Oh God, send revival to this nation. Hallelujah. It was noise that he was in the house, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Ralph Sexton Sr. told me this one time before I ever got saved. He said, D.R., When God's around, they'll line up at the door to try to get in. The problem is today we don't believe that.
Come on.
That's right.
We think that was the God of yesteryear.
Come on.
Well, that was the God of the 50s and the 60s. No, He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He's the same forevermore.
That's right.
He's changed.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
You know how those preachers saw God move? They stayed on their knees. They didn't stay at Sony's talking about other preachers. They didn't stay down at the steakhouse trying to rip another preacher apart. They didn't stay on the phone listening to gossip and discord among the brethren. No, they stayed on their knees begging God to drain them of themselves and to fill them with the power of God so sinners wouldn't have to go to hell. God, help us to get on our knees and beg God to send revival in this nation. In so much that Jesus was in the house. There's a few things here that I want to share with you. This is what happens when we know Jesus walks in the house. There's a few things that take place. Number one, let's look at verse number 2. The Bible says, straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them.
Amen.
When Jesus walks in the house, number one, people are faced with the truth.
Come on.
Amen.
For so long, we have absolutely, for so long, God help us, for so long we have done everything but try to preach the truth.
Come on.
That's right.
Come on. Amen. Come on. Come on. Preach.
Brother Jimmy, we don't want to step on nobody's toes.
You're right.
We want to preach God is love. God is love. God's love is a love we cannot understand. We cannot comprehend. But when God walked into town, He brought the truth. He brought the living Word of God. And it didn't run nobody off then. It didn't scatter them then. They said there were so many people, the Word of God said, they couldn't even get in the house. They couldn't even get in the door. Why? Because Jesus brought the truth. You know what I have learned since I've been saved, and it ain't been long, but if you tell it to them straight, and you preach it to them straight, and you do it in love, and you do it in compassion, people appreciate the truth as long as you're honest with them. We need to get back to preaching the Word of God and preaching it with boldness and preaching it with tears. He was faced with the truth. Hallelujah. Say, preacher, what's the truth? The King James Bible.
Only.
I'm going to stop right here too. I'm not trying to run rabbits. I'm just preaching. I've heard several times, E.R., I can't understand the King James Version. So, I use the such and such version because it explains things a little better. Here's what I tell them. When I was lost, I didn't understand the King James Version either. I could pick up this Bible when I was lost, and I could sit there and I could read it, and it was like I was trying to read it like that. It didn't matter what it was. I couldn't understand it. But the very moment on May the 20th, 2016, when the Holy Ghost of God came by my way, He showed me I was a sinner. He showed me I needed Him. And that very day, I picked up the Word of God, and it made sense. The light bulb went off. My heart started fluttering, and I got saved by the power of God. What are you saying? You don't need to change Bibles. You don't need to change what's always worked. Just get born again, and you'll understand it tonight. The King James Bible. I love my Bible. When I'm out of town by myself, my wife ain't there, and I'm preaching, I sleep with it. I put it under my pillow. I used to have 50 of these. I didn't give you a nickel for them. They laid in the back seat of the truck. They laid in the closet. They'd be in the drawer collecting dust. But when God saved me, this became my most precious gift. This is God's word. And when Jesus walked into Capernaum, He had His word.
That's right.
And He preached the truth.
That's right.
He preached it with boldness.
Yeah.
He preached it with power.
Yeah.
He didn't compromise one bit. What are you saying? We got to get back to Jesus and telling Him that Jesus loves them and Jesus saved them and Jesus will change their lives by preaching the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
When Jesus walks in the house, people are faced with the truth. Number two, let's keep reading verse number three. They come unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. Verse five, when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When Jesus walks in a house, people's faith are increased. I can see this sick man on the bed. I can see them trying to get up close to the door. And yea, there was probably hundreds and thousands of people there. I can see them pushing them away, saying, you can't come in here. I can see them saying, why does he need to be in here? He's got the palsy. Get that sick man out of here. Get him away from here. And I can see those guys carrying that bed saying, no. No, we know who's in there. We know Jesus is in there. We know if we can just get this man just close to Jesus, Jesus can change his life. Jesus can heal him. I can imagine the crowd pushing and pushing him away, maybe mocking him, maybe laughing at him, maybe saying, you don't belong here. What did they do? They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They didn't throw in the towel. What did they do? They climbed up the side of that house. They cut a hole in the roof and they said, we're going to get to Jesus one way or the other. What are you trying to say? When Jesus is around, people's faith is increased. I don't know about you, but the last 14 weeks, while I've been in Salisbury preaching revival and seeing over 300 people get born again, my faith has been increased. Oh, my faith has been increased because I've seen Jesus work. I've seen lives change. What are you saying? That same Jesus can do it here. That same Jesus can save your family. That same Jesus can change this town. Your faith can be increased with Jesus tonight. I got up to the roof. They let him down. And he saw Jesus. And look at what Jesus said. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When Jesus saw their faith.
Yes.
Let me ask you something. How much faith do you have that Jesus can change your lost family members' lives?
Come on, man.
Come on.
Could it be the reason they're not saved yet is because you have no faith that it can happen?
Come on.
My mama prayed for me for over 30 years to be saved. Brother Jimmy, you and I have talked. What if my mama would have stopped after about year 10?
Come on.
Where would I be? What if Brother Thacker, she said, I know my boy is down there at the dance hall and the nightclub and he's drunk. We did everything we could to raise him right. We put him underneath the best preaching. We put him up around the best services. We had family devotions every night. And he turned out wrong. And I've prayed for 10 years now. God, I just don't have faith anymore that you're going to save him. Would I be here tonight? Or would I be in hell? But I thank God.
Yes.
Jesus saw her faith.
Yes.
Woo! Jesus saw her faith. Jesus saw my daddy's faith. And they kept praying, and they kept praying. And after year 15, year 16, year 20, year 25, year 30, then on that May the 20th, 2016, I picked up that phone 5 minutes after I got born again. And I said, "Daddy, guess what?" He said, "I already know. You just got born again, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I got born again. But the power of God, what are you saying?" He saw their faith, hallelujah. He saw their faith. And Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But here we go with something else here. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Verse number 11, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And look at what he did in verse 12. "And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all." Number 3 tonight, when Jesus is in the house, people are freed from their bondage.
Yes.
I can imagine this palsy man, all cramped up, can't move. He's laying on that bed. They let him down through the roof. Remember, just a few minutes before, they wouldn't let him in. Too many people around. They couldn't get in through the door. They couldn't get in through the house to see Jesus. So they had to go to plan B. Once Jesus saw their faith, and once Jesus healed him, I can see that man standing up and doing. Then Jesus said, "Pick up your bed." He picked up his bed and he went. I can see those same people that looked at him awful funny. Those same people that kind of mocked him when he was laying on that bed. Those same people that didn't want nothing to do with that sick man.
Right.
I can imagine them saying now, "Okay, get out of the way. Boys, get out of the way. He's got his bed. He's coming through. Let him through." And I can see that palsy man putting that bed over his shoulder, walking out, saying, "I've been freed from my bondage. I've been freed from my bondage. I've been freed from my bondage." What are you saying? When Jesus comes in the house, he frees us from our sin and our bondage. Hallelujah. For the free pardon of sin. When Jesus walks in the house, people are freed from their bondage. When I went to Salisbury the 1st of June, like I said last night, I had all intentions of just staying a couple days. That's how I was booked. Had no idea I was going to stay there 3 months. Had no idea what God was fixing to do. 2 Saturday nights ago, we had a youth rally. The church was packed with teenagers. God allowed me to preach a message on delusion. And I got to see with my own eyes. I hadn't seen it since I was a little boy. But I got to see it with my own eyes. Teenagers running to the altar, screaming, begging God to save them.
Yes.
Falling on their face, begging God to free them from their bondage. The bondage of pornography. The bondage of rock music. The bondage that the devil has people so wrapped up in today. And when it was all said and done, 33 people got born again by the power of God. You say, "D.R., what are you saying?" That the same Jesus that walked through Capernaum is the same Jesus that can walk through Ramsar. It's the same Jesus that can walk through Aspera. It's the same Jesus that can walk through Community Baptist. It's the same Jesus that can walk through Victory Baptist. It's the same Jesus that can walk through Harmony Baptist. And He can free people from the bondage of sin. I want to see Jesus free people, free people, free people from their sin. You say this world's too far gone. No, no. If He can save somebody like me, He can save it. He can save anybody. I see Donnie back there. Donnie's 64. Donnie got saved last night. This brother right here has been praying for him how long? 3 years.
Praise God.
Jesus can save Donnie. Jesus can answer more prayer you have. My wife, sitting right here.
Amen.
She's the love of my life. God saved her 3 days after He saved me.
Amen.
He saved her out of a wicked lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Wicked. God changed her life.
Amen.
But she's the only one saved in her whole family. Her dad's lost. Mama's lost. Brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins. And oh, they can't stand you. They told her the other day, I baptized my little daughter. She got saved. I had the privilege of baptizing her. Lord, I felt led to call her parents to get them to come to church just to see Kylie get baptized in hopes that the gospel would reach their heart. You know what they said, Brother Jimmy? Laura, if it was even your funeral, we probably wouldn't come because it's in a church. Now you look at that and you say, oh dear God, there's no hope. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus knows where they are. They may not come to church. They may not come. But I'm going to tell you what, just as sure as there's a God in glory, and just as sure as I'm bald-headed, Jesus can save them from their bondage, just like He saved the palsy man, just like He saved me, just like He saved her. What are you saying? Jesus can do it. He can free people from their bondage. Hallelujah. Jesus walks in the house. People are freed from their bondage. Let's look at another one. Also in verse number 12, the Bible says, and immediately he arose. Number 4, when Jesus walks through a house or a town, people begin to follow God's will.
Amen.
This palsy man got born again, saved and changed. And as soon as Jesus told him to do something, what'd he do? He did it.
Yeah.
I said this last night. We've got to get our hearts right. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Every day I pray that prayer multiple times a day. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. God, please blot out my iniquities. God, please wash me thoroughly. God, please clean my heart. Make it whiter than snow. Anything in my heart, God, get it out.
Yeah.
When we get our hearts right, it allows us to have an ear to hear the Holy Spirit tell us something.
That's right, bro.
If we're going to have anything remotely close to revival in Harmony Baptist Church, you're going to have to let Jesus do some healing on you.
Amen.
You're going to have to let Jesus clean you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Then once that happens, then you're going to have to obey what Jesus tells you to do.
Amen.
See, Jesus wants... He cleans up your heart. You know what He may do?
Mm-hmm.
He may tell you to go to a brother and say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Amen.
He may tell you to take that country music and toss it.
Come on. Come on.
He may tell you to cancel that beach trip and stay at revival.
Come on.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
He may tell you to take DR out to a steak dinner.
Hey.
Brother Jimmy. We feel a witness on that. Come on, let's pray right now. whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. After I got saved, it was about a week after. At the time, I had a pickup truck, and I was riding down the road, and I had a pack of crackers, and I had a bottle of water. I ate the pack of crackers and the plastic wrapping. You fold it up, it's about that big. I took my finger and I put it on the window to put the window down and toss it out the window.
Don't tell me that. I do that all the time.
I went to toss it out the window. A bad habit. Bad habit. The Holy Ghost of God, He pricked my heart. He said, son, don't do that. Keep it and put it in the trash can when you get back. I said, Lord, it's just a piece of plastic. He said, you better listen to me. Now, you may not think much about that, but I want the power of God on my life more than anything. I want God to be all on me when I preach. I want people to see Jesus through me. I want to be able to witness to sinners and they say there's something different about that boy. And if it means not throwing a piece of plastic out a window, I'll do it. If it means me not doing this or not doing that, I'll do it, because I want Jesus to walk in the midst and to save this nation before it's eternally too late. Jesus is in the house. People follow God's will.
That's right.
Is Harmony Baptist Church willing to follow God in whatever He says to do this week? Are you willing to put everything aside? I watched people at Salisbury for 14 weeks never miss a night. And we went 6 nights a week. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. 14 weeks. Night after night. Night after night, the power of God fell. Night after night, there was not one service the same. The power of God fell in that place. There was one Sunday morning, I was preaching a message. There was a gentleman sitting on the back row, 67 years old. They had witnessed to him over 100 times, the pastor said. Grew up in church. He just never got born again.
That's right.
He would come once every 6 months, cussed like a sailor, drank, just never got changed. While I was preaching, he got up, got mad at what I was preaching, went out the door cussing. One of the ladies on the back row went after him, said, I won't call his name, but he said, sir, don't you leave. Don't you leave. Come back in. He's not calling you out. He don't even know you. That's just the Holy Ghost speaking to your heart. That's just the Holy Ghost dealing with your heart. He said, I don't want to hear nothing. No preacher's got to say no more. I'll never be back to church. I don't need God. 5 days later, he died and went out into eternity. I preached his funeral. Never met him before. The family said, D.R., I want you to preach it. Got there that night, the church was filled. Hundreds of lost people of all walks of life came to that man's funeral. I stood behind the pulpit. God said, preach on the horrors of hell at a funeral. And I preached to the best of my ability on how bad hell really is. And one by one, saw people get saved. One after another. One after another. One after another. What are you saying? That man went to hell. But God used that man going to hell to save dozens of people.
Amen.
To change their life. I said, all right, say this. Do whatever God tells you to do.
Yes, sir.
You say it hurts to say I'm sorry. I know I've had to do it a lot. But do it.
Amen.
Because God said do it.
Yes, sir.
If you're lost, God says you're lost. You better listen. Because you never know when it may be your last chance. This man had a final chance. He crossed over God's deadline.
Yes, he did.
And God took him out. Finally tonight, and I'm through, Jesus walks in the house. Look at verse 15. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many and they followed him. Finally tonight, when Jesus is in the house, people will be unified.
Amen.
There's something about Jesus being around that unifies people. The Bible says there were publicans and sinners sitting with Jesus and his disciples. You know what's a telltale sign of God really moving? Is when people are unified.
Amen.
In one mind, in one accord. You see, as Harmony Baptist Church goes, if there's only a few of you that want to see revival, it ain't going to happen.
Come on. Come on, preacher.
We all have to be in one mind
and
one accord.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Jesus walks in the house, it's going to bring people together. But when Jesus walked in the house, who did it separate? Who showed up when Jesus came in the house and never fit in and followed him? The scribes and the Pharisees. When Jesus walks in the house, it'll show real quick who's real and who's not.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
When the Holy Spirit's moving, you can see who's real and who's fake.
That's right.
When Jesus is in the house, people will be unified. I'll talk to you a second from my heart. I'm more hungry now than ever. I've preached 14 weeks straight. You can hear it in my voice. Feels like somebody took 220 sandpaper and rubbed it and just scraped it. But I'm not satisfied. I want God to send revival to your church.
We need it.
I want God. I love you. I mean that. I don't know you. I met you tonight. I want God to send revival to your church. We may not do everything the same way, but who cares? We believe the Word of God.
You're right.
And we want to see sinners saved.
Yes.
That's the number one thing. It doesn't matter if you wear a white shirt or a blue shirt or wire-rimmed glasses or you look like me and him. It does not matter. All that matters is that sinners get born again. That's all that matters, is to see Jesus walk in the house and save people by the power of God. Thacker, I want to see revival. I just met you tonight. And I already love you.
Amen.
I want you to see revival.
Amen.
I want my little girl to see revival.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we come here and we leave and we don't have revival, we've wasted our time. We've wasted our time. We need God to shake us.
That's right.
And it has to start with me. It has to start with the men of God. We have to lead by example. We have to lead by example. We are the ones God's called. And we can't expect you to do something we're not. We need to turn off the TV. And we need to get on our faces and say, God, for this little bit of time that we're together, God, shake us to the core. And God, get us back to where it's all about Jesus. Where it's all about Jesus. So we can see you move in these last days before you return. How many wants Jesus to walk in the house? I said, how many wants Jesus to walk in the house? Are you willing to do whatever He tells you to do? Are you willing to go to that sister and say, I talked about you. Would you forgive me? I'll go a step further. Are you willing to go to your brother or sister and say, I listened to somebody else talk about you? That's just as bad as doing the talking. I made a vow to God. I would not make my ear a garbage can.
Amen.
To discord. I won't do it.
Amen.
I refuse to do it. I don't want that garbage in my head. I want everything between me and God and me and my brother right. Why? Because I have got to see revival. We've got to do it for our baby's sake. I've got a baby on the way. And if we don't have revival, that baby ain't got a prayer. If we don't have revival, her family don't have a prayer. God help us to get out of ourselves and get a good dose of Jesus so we can see revival one more time. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Well, the pianist is coming, playing a verse of I Surrender All. This altar's open.